somebody say amen. 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 Somebody found joy down in that valley, bright as a morning star. Somebody found joy in that valley. Yes, they did. Bright as a morning star. Somebody found joy in the valley. Bright as a morning star. Somebody say amen. 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 Somebody found peace down in the valley. Yes, they did. Bright as a morning star. Somebody found peace in the valley. Yes, they did. Bright as a morning star. Somebody found peace in the valley. Bright as a morning star. Somebody say amen. 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 So God have mercy. Come on. Bright as a morning star. Somebody found love in the valley. Yes, they did. Bright as a morning star. Lord have mercy. Somebody found love in the valley. Bright as a morning star. Somebody say amen. 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 In that valley, yes they did. Bright as a morning star. Somebody found Jesus in the valley. Yes they did. Bright as a morning star. Somebody found Jesus. Yeah. Bright as a morning star. Somebody say amen. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Somebody found joy
in the valley.
Somebody found peace
in the valley.
Somebody found love
in the valley.
Somebody found deliverance
in the valley.
Somebody found God
in the valley.
In the valley. In the valley, in the valley, in the valley, somebody found peace. Come on, in the valley, in the valley, come on, in the valley, in the valley, in the valley, in the valley, somebody say amen, amen, amen.
Come on, we can do better than that. Anybody found joy in the valley? While you were going through your trials and your tribulations, did you find peace, love, and understanding? Somebody ought to give God some praise in here today. Amen. Amen. Because our valleys could not conquer us. Our valleys could not keep us. But while we're in the valley, we learned some things about our God. Some things that showed us just who he is. How much power he has, what he can do. And then we know that he'll keep his promise and not leave us. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here, because in the valley is where we found. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I enjoyed that. Amen. Man, that took me back to my old church. Amen. When I was a little boy. Amen. I ain't heard that one in a while. Amen. Our call to worship scripture today is Psalms 34. Stanza 15 says this: the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you for you being here with us today. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that while we're here, that you give us something that we can take with us, something that will give us some strength to deal with what we have to deal with. But Father, we know that while we're here, we know that you will show us love. We know that you will give us some peace. And Lord God, we pray that you give us clearance and clarity, Lord God, and the things that we need to understand better. So we ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 We now have our opening hymn, hymn number 565.
Good morning, church family and friends. So happy to see Pastor Robinson back and looking healthy and joyful and peaceful. Today, responsive reading is our statement of faith, but we will do it in unison. So let's read together. We believe in God, the eternal Spirit, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the worlds into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges men and nation by his righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles, in Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord. He has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls unto his church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom, which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen.
Amen.
heads for a word of prayer. Our Father God, Thou who sits all by Himself, the one who super rules, which means you need no help. The one who looks down on His people to hear their every cry. And the one who reacts to the cry of His people. The one who never sleeps or slumber. The one who cover us and keep us close to His bosom. We come to You today, Lord God, and You know our concerns. Lord God, You know our cry. You know our prayers. Because the most beautiful thing about You is that You can look at the heart of man and see what his true needs are. So as we stand humble before You now, we come, Lord God, laying all of our issues at Your feet. We come today because we know that You have all power in the palm of Your hands. And Father God, You are such a good God that when we come, You don't look at our shortcomings. You don't look at our sins. You don't look at our troubles. You don't look at our life status to say that You will or would not hear our cry. But You simply look at Your children and see our need. You see our pain. You see our struggles. You see where we are lacking. You see where we need strength. And Father, You hear and answer our cry. So we come this morning to say thank You. Because You're such a good God. Thank You because You're such a powerful and loving God. And Father, You heard the concerns of the moderator today, for our children are returning to school. Lord God, not only our children are returning to school, but the teachers are returning. The administrators are returning. Everyone who is needed to make school function is returning. So, Father, many spirits are going to gather together. And, Father, we pray now that Your spirit will be the one that everyone can feel. We pray that Your spirit be the one that everyone can hear. We pray that Your spirit be the one that everyone will follow. For, Father, if that happens, we know that unity, harmony, and peace will abide. So today we come now praying, Lord God, that You abide in every school, in every office, in every principal, Lord God, in every teacher, in every child, Lord God, every janitor, every bus driver, everyone who opens the door, every security man. Because if You are there, Father, we know that peace will be in our schools. Father God, we need that more now than ever before. For children have found it easy to pick up guns and take them to school and just kill. Father, we're not used to seeing this. Father, it's not common for us to have to deal with this. But we know that You know all things. And not only that You know all things, but You can fix all things. You can make all things better. So we come to say thank You now because we know You will do this. Because we're asking, and You said if we ask and shall not doubt, it shall be given. So we pray now that You give us this blessing. This day, cover and keep all of our teachers, cover and keep all of our children. Father, for we want them to go to work and we want them to go to school and we want them to be able to return home safe. We ask now this blessing in Your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We ask now that our officers will come for the purpose of our tithing and offering. Father God, that you use all your power to make it effective in this community, make it effective amongst these members of this church, because without you, we can't make it. But with you, we can make it through all things. And we pray that these funds can show the world that through all things, they can make it because you are involved. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We pray. Their hearts say amen.
Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all the heavenly hosts. Praise God.
Give God some praise. Amen. Joy down in my soul. Sweet. Beautiful. Soul saving joy. Anybody here got joy like that today? Despite what you might have in front of you, despite what you're going through, you still got joy? No matter how much pressure is on your shoulder, no how much. Don't play with me now. No matter what's going on in your life, you still got joy. Unspeakable joy. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We all should have joy because we know who our God is. Amen. And if he's ever done anything for you, you should have joy. Amen. because he didn't have to do it. But because he loves you so much, he did it anyway. Amen. Glory be to God. Give God some praise. Amen. Amen. The choir singing today. Look back there to make sure it's still the same choir. They sound kind of young today, like they got some energy. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, a familiar passage of scripture. Begin reading at that first verse. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a quick word of prayer. Father God, we pray now that you be with us as we stand in the shoes of Jesus, sharing love with your people, sharing your word with your people. But we pray now that they hear you and not hear us, that they see you and not see us. But it is you that have the power. It is you that can make the changes in their lives. So we ask now, Lord God, that you speak through us. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. Just for a few seconds from that text, we would like to pull the subject. We are marred clay in the hands of God. Let me say that again. We are marred clay in the hands of God. My proposition to you today is God desires to make you better today than you were yesterday, and better tomorrow than you are today. Amen. Let me say that one more time. God desires to make you better today than you were yesterday, and better tomorrow than you are today. See, in our life, we live according to set time frames, to goals. We live by objectives and possibilities and opportunities. And some of us live by regiments because we are taught that a structured life is the best way to live. A structured life can get you to success. It can get you to where you want to go. It can help you accomplish many things in life. And I agree with that theory. I agree with that way of living. But one thing that we must remember, as much as we like to think that we are in control, as much as we like to think that we are in charge, we must realize that truly we are not in charge at all. We think that we have power over our lives to make decisions. But I must tell you today that Jesus, or shall I say God and Jesus, make all the decisions for us. I remember hearing an old preacher said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him the plans you have for your life. He says, Reverend, make all the plans you want, and then tell them to God, and watch God laugh. Jeremiah bears him out by saying this, that God knew him before he was formed. Before he was birthed into this world, God already had plans for his life, for he had ordained him to be the prophet unto the nation. Which means that when Jeremiah came into this world, there was already a plan set for his life. And not only for his life while he was here, the plan would go with him over into the holy place. Or shall I say, it would go with him beyond the grave. We are just marred clay in the hands of God. No matter what we do, no matter how we plan our day, no matter what we do to make our life fit into the structure that we like, the way we think things ought to be, we must realize there's an entity more powerful than us that has complete control over our lives. Now, I'm not saying don't make plans. I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying just go out there and wing it. Not what Reverend is saying. What Reverend is saying is pray that your plans line up with the will of God. Because if your plans don't line up with the will of God, you're going to find yourself bumping your head against the brick wall. Amen. My mama says, baby, sometimes a bought lesson is the best lesson. Sometimes we think that we're in complete control and we go outside of what we know our structure plan is by the way of God. And we have to bump our heads and get our punishment. And then God get us back in order. We must remember that we're just marred clay in the hand of God. God has a plan for us. And he does not need our help. We must remember that God is the sovereign being, which means he is the supreme ruler, which means he does not need your input. Lord, have mercy. I stepped on some people's toes with that one. I stepped on my own because I'm somewhat of a control freak and I like to have things a certain way. But if God says for it to be different, then guess what? It better be different. Because if it's not different, you'll find yourself failing at every attempt that you try. God says, I am in complete control. Now, if God is in complete control, then why do we worry ourselves? You're a Christian, we ought not worry. Especially if I just told you, he's numbered your day. He know every thought. He know every corner you're going to turn. He know every decision you're going to make. He knows everything about you, and he's put you in a plan that he has for you. And if we trust him the way we say that we do, then why do we worry? God has complete control. And not only does he have complete control, but he knows all of our imperfections. Our lives are not perfect. As a matter of fact, they are far from it. But because God loved us so much, he looked past all of our faults. He loved us so much, he has planned for us a way of escape out of every situation we place ourselves in. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in a mess because of the choices that we make. Sometimes we feel that we can do our own thing. We get rebellious. I remember when I started getting of age, calling my mother, looking at her when she would speak to me. She would say to me, okay, son, you're starting to smell yourself. That musk that you smell don't make you wrong. But what it can do is get you in trouble. Despite what we think that we are, despite our choices that we make that sometimes get us in trouble, the plans of God know how to get us back in order. Somebody ought to give God some thanks there. Some of us are out of order this week, but God got us. But we are simply just marred clay in the hands of God. When we look at this text, Jeremiah tells us, when he followed God's instructions, he gets down to the potter's house, and he says the potter had marred clay in his hand, which means the clay was without shape. It was lumpy. It had air bubbles, cracks. It had rocks in it. It had dry places, and perhaps it was discolored. In other words, it looked like it was useless. He couldn't make out what the end result of that clay would be. It didn't look like anything in particular because it had no form. It had no shape. It had weaknesses and had cracks and rocks. But because the potter had it in his hand, it still had the potential to be something beautiful. Y'all don't hear me. I'm talking about us. Because sometimes when people look at us, they can't see what God is doing with us. But because we're in God's hand, we have great potential to be what God planned for us to be. Jeremiah said, Reverend, when that clay was in the potter's hand, it's just like a lump of clay. I thought it had rough edges. Bubbles in it. I mean, the structure of it was weak. It had cracks in it, which means it'll let some of the stuff that's in it out of it. It wasn't strong enough to hold anything. It had no form, it had no shape, and it was discolored. It just looked like it wasn't going to be much of anything. But when the potter starts to shape, it started taking form, and it started looking different. Because Jeremiah had nothing to say about what the clay would turn out to be. But the potter had all control. The potter knew what he was going to do with it. The potter knew how to make it very important. The potter knew how to shape it, how to form it, how to remove things from it in order to make it something beautiful. In the potter's hand. Thank God for our potter because he knows all of our struggles. He knows all of our blemishes. He knows all our weaknesses. He knows all of our hard places, all of our desolate and dry places. He knows everything about us. So he knows exactly what to do with each and every. Thank God for the potter. Thank God for the hand of the potter. Because his hands are beautiful, they're powerful, but yet they're kind. They're strong, but yet they're gentle. Oh, y'all don't get it. They're tough, but yet they're loving. The hands of the potter. When he puts his hands to us, he touches us in the places that we need. He touches us to make us better. He touches us to change us because when progression comes, change must happen. I know some of us don't like change. Some of us have we set in our ways. We have not in the run. I've got it. Baby, you still live. You still live here, right? We still strive because we're trying to be more like him. I don't care if you're 100 years old, you better still be striving because he was perfect. And as long as we're in flesh, we'll never be perfect. But as long as we're still on this side of glory, we ought to still be working to be more like him. Thank God for our potter. For his plan is designed to make changes that are needed in our lives. Changes that will make us successful. Changes that will make us become a beautiful spiritual work of art. You can't become beautiful if you don't change. You can't become beautiful. We should all still be working on ourselves. We should all still be allowing God to have his way with us. Because if we allow him to have his way with us, we'll see a change come about in our life. Jeremiah also told us that when the potter was working with the clay, he was shaping it and saw that it needed to be reworked. Thank God, God knows when we need to be reworked. Thank God he knows how to see when there's something that's in us that's keeping us from getting to where he wants us to be. And because of his love, he takes his hand and he changed that thing and moved that thing so that we can become what he wants us to be. I remember when I was working at EDS, somebody asked me what one of my weaknesses was, and I told him, it shocked me. I said, how can that be your weakness? I don't ever see you fall in that area. I said, because God is working with you. God knows everything about us. God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Sometimes we don't know where we're weak until something comes in our life. You know how we say, baby, I never do that. I can never see myself do something like that. Well, have you been placed in that situation? You don't know what you're doing until you're placed in that situation. You don't know how you'll respond or how you'll react until you're placed in the situation. Thank God that we know that as children of God, if we find ourselves in a situation, or if we're placed in a situation, it's in the plan of God. Lord, have mercy. Remember, the Bible said all things does what? Work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. So everything that comes in your life is planned by God. Lord, have mercy. And when we fall short, God knows how to rework us. Listen, as Christians, we don't sin. For some reason, we got this perfect perception. I don't know where it comes from. That because we're Christians, we won't sin ever again. Hey, go back and fix that. Hey, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. Let me go back and fix that. Because we are wrapped in flesh. We are wrapped in sin, and we have to deal with sin every day, and sometimes we don't pay attention. And we fall short of God's glory. But God has a way of getting us back in order, because he'll convict us to make us correct what went wrong. Amen? Glory be to God. But God knows how to work us. He knows how to change us and change us to please himself. The Bible here says that the potter reworked the marred clay to something that he... Oh, y'all didn't hear me. To something that he liked, not what you like. But let me share something with God. If God changes you and works you into something that he likes, if it's in the will of God, you will like it too.
Amen.
Because God won't do anything to make you not like what he's done. Oh, glory be to God. He was shaping you in a way that is something that he likes, and you will like his way. Because there's no greater place to be than in the hands and in the will of God. When you're in the hands and in the will of God, you find love, grace, and mercy, peace, joy, and power. Somebody ought to give God some praise. So when you're in the hands of God and he's reworking you, he's working you into something that's beautiful. Sometimes on this journey, we make mistakes and we seem ugly to people. Even as Christians. But God says, I can work to get that thing out of your life. Because none of us are perfect. None of us are without sin. The Bible says that we sin by commission and omission. We sin knowing what we're doing. And sometimes we sin not knowing what we're doing. But God has a plan. God knows how to remove those things out of our life. In verse 6, it says this. It says that God says unto Israel, cannot I do with you as the Father has done with this clay? When you are in my hands, O Israel. In other words, God said, I can remove those air bubbles that are your weaknesses out of your life. I can work you in just the right amount of pressure to remove the weaknesses from your life. He says, not only can I remove the air bubbles which are weaknesses out of your life, he says, I can remove the rocks from your life, which means I can remove those hard places that you have in your life. Some of us are hard and we don't love like God loves. Oh, have mercy. I tell people all the time, I don't care anything about folks shouting, I don't care anything about folks dancing, I don't care anything about folks speaking in tongues. If you want to show me that you're a child of God, show me how you love. Because God loves unconditionally. God loves does not mean that you do exactly what I tell you to do and you only do what I want you. Because I'm concerned about my own. In other words, God's love is not selfish. God doesn't love you because you love him. God loves you. Oh, y'all don't hear me. If we love people just because people love us, then we're no better than the Pharisees. That's what the word said. And the Bible said that they received their reward here on earth. In other words, they won't make it to heaven. Because their love is not real. But God says, I can work those hard places in your life where you can really love somebody. Well, I hear you. Well, I love everybody. Let's be honest. All of us have prejudice. Mm-hmm. Some of us don't like those different cultures. Some of us don't like folks because they're wrong. I want to tell you, there's no excuse. If you're wrong, God is, but they still love us. You're supposed to love your enemy. The Bible says they slap you on one cheek, you're turning to what? Give them the other. God says we are marked clay. He's working us. He's trying to get these things out of our lives so we become a beautiful work. He says not only will I remove those weaknesses out of your life or remove those hard places out of your life, he said I will remove those dry places that's in your life. Those desolate places, those dead that has no life. God says, where there is death in your life, he says, I can take my beautiful hand and I can create life in dead places in your life in order to make you better. Lord, have mercy. Thank you. Because there were some dead places in my life that God had to work for me because I was not strong enough to work them myself, but because of the power of his hand, God was able to wrap his hands around me and make those dead places come back. Thank you, Jesus. Finally, he said, once I've gotten those dead places out of your life,
I added the water, which is life, back to your life, and I'm making you into something magnificent. He said, I'll take you and put you on the wheel of life. Place you in the oven and turn the oven on to just the right temperature. In other words, I'll put things in your life that will give you just the right amount of pressure, just at the right time. And I'll give you ability to handle all of it. Because when you handle all of it, what you don't realize, I'm shaping you into something. Lord have mercy. He says, when you can start standing and not change who you are, you're becoming beautiful. When you can start standing and speaking my word, oh, y'all don't hear me, you're becoming beautiful. When you start standing when storm is in your life and you don't bow down to your storm, you're becoming beautiful. Y'all don't hear me. He said, when you can stand in the face of your enemy and still give them the love that I give you, you're becoming beautiful. Somebody ought to give God some praise. He said, you're just marred clay in my hands, but when I finish with you, you'll be a beautiful vessel that everyone will want to look on. He said, I won't hide you. He said, I will place you on a hill where the world can see your beauty. I'll place you in the light where everyone can see who you are. So when they look to see you, they won't see you. When they look to see you, they'll see me, because it'll be me who's standing there with you with all power in the palm of my hands. You are just marred clay, but when I finish with you, baby, you'll be a beautiful vessel. Somebody give God some praise. How powerful are the hands of the potter? He knows when to apply pressure. He knows when to shape us, but yet gentle enough not to break us. His hands are skilled enough to remove our hard places and mend our cracks, but loving enough not to throw us away because of our shortcomings. He knows when to apply water to our dry places and our lives to regenerate our dead places and give us power enough to stand the wiles of the devil. He said that he would not hide us, but he would show us, because he wants the whole world to see his finished product. You are his finished product. You will be a beautiful vessel if you just let God have his way with you. If you just let God move those things out of your life. If you let God shape you into what he wants you to be, you will find yourself being attractive and beautiful. And people will see your anointing and not see you. Give God some praise. The doors of the church are now open. If there would be one, the Bible says, find him while he is near. For surely shall come a time where God cannot be found. Thank God for shaping us. Thank God for having a plan. Because without God's plan, we are all lost. Without God's plan, we are doomed to a life of eternal damnation. But because he loves us so much that he's willing to continue to work with us, despite our shortcomings, despite our backsliding, despite us not doing his will, he still will shape us if we allow him to, and we'll find salvation. Give God some praise.
Why?
you have time. Come unto Jesus. Make up your mind. He will give life brand new. Oh, yeah. He will take care of you. Come unto Jesus. Why you have time.
Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of communion. Amen. As they come, let me ask that you guys continue to pray for us, because we're not 100%, but we're getting there. Amen. Amen. As you see, I'm sweating like I've never sweated before, because I'm still working hard. Amen. Amen. Trying to get back to where we once were. We're not quite there, but we're getting there. Amen. And we wanted to push a little bit harder today, but we couldn't. Amen. But we will. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
I know it was the blood saved me. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood. Blood came streaming down. The blood came streaming down. The blood came streaming down for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood. Jesus died. Oh, and I know it was the blood for me. Thank you.
Father God, we come now asking that as we leave this place, that your power, your grace, and your mercy will go with us. For Father, we are going into a world of uncertainty, a world of confusion, a world of hate and evil. But Father, we know that your power, your love can overcome them all. Keep us. Watch over us and protect us. Send our warring angels to fight for us. Lord God, we pray that when the enemy sees us, he does not see us but see the blood of Jesus. For it is the blood of Jesus that's covering us. It is the blood of Jesus that will arrest all of our enemies and set them to flee. We ask now of these things. So while we're out in the world, we can be your children and stand strong. So we can return back to your house of worship and praise your holy name. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.